And we are live. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson, and I'm here with the lovely and talented Lise Colucci. Lise, welcome back.
Thank you. How are we doing?
You know, can't complain. How about yourself?
Good.
Good, good. All right. So today we are talking by request about financial abuse. And as we are getting started, we will just really quickly wait for... Okay. So we do this live stream every Tuesday, usually between... 12:30, 1-ish central time. We send out notifications through our text system. So if you want to be part of that, you can text Angie Live, all one word, A-N-G-I-E, Live, or Lise Live, all one word, L-I-S-E, or both, depending on whether you want to be notified for only our streams together or our streams separately as well. Doesn't matter, just pick one. Hello, Chris from the Mod Squad in the house, and hello, Ellen from our Spanily, and Adrian, welcome everybody. Misfit in the house. Hey, Misfit bassist. I said almost said bassist. All right, I'm gonna stop talking. Okay. So we have received several requests to talk about financial abuse. And so we've heard quite a few people saying, one person saying they were with a covert narcissist. They've been with them 30 years. And anyway, so let's talk about this. What is financial abuse? I'm just gonna define it for us and we're gonna jump right in. Okay. So it is essentially, the shortest way I could say it is a narcissist controlling you or someone else with money, whether it's they have all the money and they won't give you any, or it's you have the money and they take it from you. When you go to work, they sit around and they take all your money, or some combination of that. Lots of different ways it can be done. So Lise, have you experienced or seen with your clients any financial?
Yes, lots of seeing it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to
bring? Oh, just it's I mean, it's a perfect place for them to take control and either create reliance mm-hmm. so that you're reliant on them for your well-being, your food, your house, your shelter, your life, mm-hmm. or to, in the other side where they're taking all the money, drain you dry and then move on to the next person, or live in a state of need so that mm-hmm. then you're reliant on them again. Some in a twisted way. So
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I've seen it, like I said, like you said, both ways, where, you know, you might have somebody who lives in a mansion and has everything a person could possibly want, but then if they wanted to say leave, they would have nothing. Or, you know, they get an allowance, they're only allowed to spend, or there are these situations where you have people who their person checks every item on the receipt and make sure that that item was in fact purchased and that they don't have any spending money. And I've even seen people go so far as to prevent, you know, and usually these, not always, I mean, I'm just thinking of one former client I have where they had, the family was living in a house that was way too small. And even though they had plenty of money, the narcissist in the family refused to move because they were too cheap, because eventually the kids would grow up and move out and then they wouldn't need any more house than that. So
mm-hmm. I've heard of that too, where they have a lot of money. The narcissist yeah. has a lot of money, but they won't even buy new clothes or
right.
anything new except the things you can't buy used, like underwear.
Right. Right.
And leave it people in a state of feeling like they live in poverty
mm-hmm.
and a state yeah. of need. When you're in a state of need like that, when you're in a survival mode, your brain changes into survival mode thinking, and it's a lot harder to leave them, even though it seems like obviously we'll just leave.
So true.
It traps you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It, in fact, not just that, but it's also like on top of that, you have people like, I have actually seen people who literally, and these were not clients because they had no access to money. These are people that I just met in groups and here mm-hmm. on YouTube and stuff, where they have had like to struggle to eat while yeah. their narcissist is over there living it up in the same
oh, yeah.
house, mm-hmm. you know, where they couldn't buy the things their children needed or whatever. And yet there was money, they just weren't allowed to use it. Even in some cases when they were the only ones working. That floored me, but it happens. So
yeah, I've heard also of narcissistic parents with a lot of money who use the potential inheritance as dangling over the children's heads for the rest of the life of the parents. And then all kinds of things that happen when there is an estate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've had more than one client who, you know, seemed like they had a great life and they had a nice place to live. Maybe they even owned a whole big, beautiful house because the parents bought it for them. for the parents, essentially, what is it called? Least dependence. It's called like learned dependence.
Learned dependency.
Yeah. Where they
learned helplessness.
Yes. Where they basically, parents never help the children learn adult skills, mm-hmm. like how to be an adult. And so they essentially just let them be kids forever because they can control their every move in some way because they have the purse strings. I've seen a lot of trust fund babies in that situation. One of them actually broke out of it and ended up not getting anything when her very wealthy parent died, but she had already built her own business and she's doing great. Her other siblings, we don't know about them, but, mm-hmm. but she had gone no contact before that. So
I've heard of that too, or having them paying for college, paying for housing, paying for everything. Sounds awesome, right? Oh no, not when it's a narcissist that's doing it, because then there is basically they own you for the things that they've paid for.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
And then they've conditioned in the person's head that they're not able to do it themselves. Their only worth is the value that they have given them.
Yeah.
It's all kinds of messed up.
I know. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Okay, let's see here. We've got a few people in the chat. Thank you, Helpful Mom from the Mod Squad for putting in the notices in the chat. So if anybody wants to know, hey, Sparkle, anyway, she beeped at me. The thing is, I lost track. Sorry, back on track. Financial abuse. Okay. So I would say personally, I experienced it in my first marriage, but only because my ex-husband didn't earn very much money. And he would like once every few months go out and steal all of the money in the bank, which was very little if we're being honest, but it would leave me unable to pay the rent, unable to take care of the food needs for my child. And I actually, this is horribly embarrassing, but back then, 23 years ago, had to go to a food pantry. Mm-hmm. And ask for help because my ex-husband stole all of our money and went out drinking or whatever. I don't actually know what he did with it. I knew he came home the next morning drunk every time. So it was horrible. And that's not exactly, you know, as extreme, I guess, as some people have experienced, because mm-hmm. this would just be a period. So eventually I just took the man's ATM card away, but, you know, and never gave him another one. But, you know, that's not always that solvable and not everybody can do that. Mm-mm. Because not everybody's, you know, the primary earner. So, and it wasn't easy and it didn't make it any more acceptable. So eventually I had to go, but, yeah. Okay. So let's see here. Huffle Mom has done her chat reminders. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. Highly sensitive. Wookie. How cute. Good name. Hey Peggy, how are you? Peggy said sometimes it's insidious and you don't realize it. And that is another really important point. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you come from a family or a place where you don't have, you have nothing, or you are controlled in different ways, or you've never felt taken care of, let's say. Mm-hmm. And then you meet a narcissist and they're like, baby, I got you. I got you. I'm going to take care of you. And they go, here, let me open you up a bank account. Here, let me put a few bucks in the bank account. Okay. Well, anyway, this begins this whole process of you being taken care of, and at first it feels really good to you, right? Because you are in this what feels like a kid, you know, you're for the first time in your life, maybe somebody's like taking care of your needs and you don't have to, right? Directly. And so what ends up happening is that they end up controlling you with that bank account, and then one day they just take it away. Yep. And then they go, you know, I'll tell you when you can spend money or whatever. And people get stuck for years and decades in these situations, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also know people who clients who have lived very, very nice lives, so to speak, mm-hmm. on the outside, with the narcissist making lots of money, providing a good home. They offer on the outside, on paper, it looks perfect. Mm-hmm. In behind closed doors, it's absolute torture for them. But the difficulty in leaving is they leave a lifestyle. They pull their children from a lifestyle. They are financially dependent, mm-hmm. because they have been told, just stay home, I'll take care of everything. And so they have been too long out of the workplace to maintain any career that they feel trapped, and not only trapped, but it's difficult to envision stepping out of that into what? Poverty?
Really? It's right. Really true.
It's yeah. Really true. And so then they felt yeah. Kept.
And exactly. Yeah. And people don't, a lot of people are like, you know what? So what? Just you're being abused. No, just get out of there.
No, there's children and there's lots of things involved for people. Yeah. Yeah.
And people don't understand what it is to step out of that lifestyle mm-hmm. and into the rest of the stuff. And it sounds like, well, you know, it should, but it's not, but especially when there are children, especially when there are children who are above like the age of like 6 or 7, mm-hmm. it, you know, and even below the age, but especially above that age where they're really conscious of brand names and status and things that unfortunately we all have.
It's just, it makes it more complicated. Whether it's harder or less hard, it makes yeah. it adds another level of complexity for people.
Right. Right. And on that same note, a lot of times what you see is you see parents, the parent with the money, the one that's controlling the situation, will literally use the money to basically seduce the children back over to their side. Mm-hmm. And so the children will leave the other parent behind, or they will try to, or they will make the other parent's life miserable in order to be pushed back to, you know what I mean? And so it's like this, they use it to pit people against you. It's really bad.
I've also yeah. seen another type of situation with parallel parenting situations where mm-hmm. all kinds of things all over the place with financial abuse going on. One example would be paying for some, the narcissistic parent pays for something that is outside of the agreement
mm-hmm.
And then takes it out of the child support and gives oh. you, yeah. Oh, child support's mm-hmm. $300. Well, I paid $50 for XYZ, so I'm only going to give you $250. Right. And if you know anything about trying to collect child support by going through the, you know, the system, takes a lot of effort. It takes a certain amount of debt. They have to be like in some states thousands of dollars in arrears before you can collect. So they can do this inch by inch, piece by piece, pay it back in micro payments so that it stays mm-hmm. right under that dollar amount. And therefore they are controlling this much of that person's life.
That's right.
Just
that's
in the right. frustration level. I've also seen them wanting to have joint funding going on toward children where there's like agreed upon amounts that you pay for each thing, but mm-hmm. there's some bank account that's held together. Why would they want that? Right. It's all about control and manipulation. It has nothing to do with flight risk or any other issues. It's just
right.
to control.
Right. That's right. Uh-huh. And that's what it's all about. Right.
Yes,
it's about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's interesting because on the complete opposite side of what we're just talking about, you've got narcissists who refuse to work. They don't shower.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's
the book for why they can't get a job in a time where you could literally get a job anywhere.
Like you could just walk out. I mean, look, the yeah. McDonald's down the street from me is paying like $14 an hour starting pay.
It's okay. 19 here plus college. Plus I mean, before you're college. So
right.
I mean, and not to say that people who can't, you know, it's just that there's a refusal for multiple years, every excuse in the book, and they're able-bodied, capable adults.
Right. Yeah. There's just, right. There's just no, yeah. So, I mean, the point is we understand, and I'm never like, if somebody's disabled or they aren't working as a team, I'm not saying
no,
anything,
no.
But I'm saying in a situation, people do manipulate, especially toxic people, only toxic people will manipulate in this way. Mm-hmm. And it would be different if they were just like, they had a mental illness or they're debilitatingly depressed or yeah. right. But narcissists do not have a mental illness because they're narcissists. They have a personality disorder that's different.
Yes.
And they can, in fact, work. If the ones that I'm talking about here, they could work. They could stand up and walk
right.
and do things.
Right,
and
exactly.
They're not stupid, right?
Excuses to not, to make somebody else do the work.
Yes.
And control them that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know this one, this one client that I have, a former client, she was telling me how her ex would sit on the couch, play video games all the time. And he would go play with his friends during the day and do different like childlike things. And I don't mean childlike, I mean like teenager-like things. Mm-hmm. And then this man, they had a baby, and this, she thought, oh great, he can be a stay-at-home dad, right? No. No, this man made her pay for daycare.
Oh yeah.
I was like, girl, what are you doing? because why would you pay for daycare? And his ass.
They're both, yeah.
I mean, sorry, but
daycare, really.
Like, what's he doing? Why does he get to live there if he's doing nothing? You know, like, I don't understand.
Then, yeah, I've heard the aging narcissists do this too, where they will find a sugar mama, so to speak, or sugar daddy. Like they will literally find someone with money.
Yep.
And they will appear charming. This, well, let me give a modified example of a real story, which is like, pretended they had money, pretended they had this amazing job that they'd retired from, pretended all this whole life. They were grifters. He was a total like couch surfing, you know, but he could play the part. He knew how to play golf. So obviously, you know, that's that. Yeah. Literally had her buy him golf, like lived the high life in her home, and then began barking the orders as if it was his home.
Oh, hell no.
Oh yeah. And then wouldn't leave.
See, that's another thing.
And then guess what? He had two other women that he could fit. So he couch surfed again from one to the other, and he would dump one, move into the other one, Hoover one back. So he never had, And they couldn't figure out, like, why would he want to be with her? She lives la la la. And I'm like, don't you see what he's doing?
Right.
He's using all three of you, so he never has to work a day in his life and is fed like a king.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And how old was he, do you know?
I think in his early 70s.
Wow.
Yeah, really, a really good looking.
That's pretty impressive.
Put together, like, you know, he was, charming snake in the grass.
Horrible, horrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing. It could look like any of those things. You know, I mean, and the same thing happens in the trailer parks.
Well, that's what forever. I mean. Like, one of the homes that he was hers, and it was luxurious. Another one was didn't have a lot of money, and so he literally slept on a couch. And another one was more in the between. And he just lives, wherever, whoever would take him for that amount of time.
Yeah, so really not okay.
No.
Okay. Yeah, it's not. All right, I'm going to scroll through the chat here. So I was going to tell everybody, you were talking about that one. Oh, I forgot. All right, I'll think of it. Okay, so Elizabeth says, my mom did a will that if I don't say my mom did a will that if I say I don't want the inheritance, then I will inherit the flat I live in with my violent sister. But if I accept, I will be in debt plus still inherit with my sister. That sounds a little abusive. She says my mother's a genius. And she's something. So it sounds like her sister is violent, and her mother is basically saying, if you accept the money I'm going to give you, you're going to be in debt. But if you don't, then I'm just going to give you this flat. And either way, she has to live with her sister or has to share something with her sister. That seems really unfair. I'm so sorry. Any thoughts on that for her, Lise?
Yeah, it just sounds like the twisted games that they play just to keep. It's like money is a third child, so to speak. Like they keep,
yes.
You know what I mean? Or an entity in itself that they can... Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Like it's bigger than it needs to be. And they use it as this huge means of control to manipulate not just the money aspect of your life, but the way you feel and think.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. So highly sensitive Wookiee says, dealing with all this now, passive aggressive coercive control from spouse over finances plus wealthy in-laws. Ooh, that's a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a hard one. So, I mean, I don't know the whole story, but with the spouse, passive aggressive and coercion, I mean, that's enough to drain you right there. Wealthy in-laws probably also manipulating you. I'm guessing if your spouse is a narcissist, one of them might also be. That's incredibly overwhelming. Any thoughts for her or him?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like what we're talking about. I don't know.
Right. It's exactly. It's, yeah.
It's exactly.
Yep. Okay. Chris says, my mother-in-law has a hold over our entire family simply because of her money. No one goes against her except for me. And she is, I happen to know this person. She's kind of a badass. Moving on. All right. But that's really true. And this is what the thing is. This is not just your spouse, as we have mentioned, it's parents, in-laws, anybody that has money, mm-hmm. you know, and then there's, there are those who get mad because there are people like me who, my mother called me up one day and told me she's going to cut me out of her will because she had this crazy idea in her head. I guess she had a dream. I was going to come kill her for her money. And I was like, go ahead and cut me out of the will, mom. I don't want your stupid money anyway. And that was like 25 years ago, 26 years ago. What? Today's November 2nd. Wait a minute, 2021?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute. I got to think. What's 1998 to 2021? What's that like? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
22 years?
22 years. Wow. Okay. So 22 years ago today,
I'm married to a narcissist.
No, however long it was. No, more than that. Because wait. Yeah, no, because my kid is 97. Oh, no, I got married in 96.
I don't know.
Whatever, I got married in 96. It would have been 30 years right now. Is that right? Whatever.
Yes, 30. Sorry, 30. Yeah.
So today I would have been married 30 years. Oh my God, that's not right. Is it right? Okay. But I got divorced and married somebody better later, so that's fine. But that was my nurse. Anyway. Okay. But anyway, my point was, I forgot. I got distracted. Okay. Hey, Misty. Adrian says, my mom always relies on me. She will always come to me when she needs something or when she messed up big time of not taking responsibility for bills. It has been that way for a long time. Oh, here. For a long time now. But, or she will have money but won't help if I need it. But I've been taking care of me for a long time. I know that reminds me of the parents thing. Okay. Yeah. So I totally get you. And anyway, the thing with my mother calling me and telling me she was going to cut me out of the will and me telling her I want her stupid money. Anyway, this was when I married my ex-husband. She didn't like him.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were more alike than I realized, I guess.
Oh, but yeah. I've heard of them buying people off in the sense of like, if you break up with him, I'll buy you a car.
Yeah.
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 And there's oftentimes nothing wrong with the person.
Right.
It's just a matter of controlling their child's life.
Yes. And on that same note, I've seen people pay off the boyfriend or girlfriend of their child to leave. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's really bad. But I figure, you know what, if they're going to leave her for whatever amount of money, then obviously they're not for you anyway. So
bye.
I don't know. I'm just saying. All right. Okay. So Adrian, with your mother always relying on you financially and then not helping you when you need help, I mean, that is just a typical narcissist, unfortunately. And I think it's really crappy for a parent to do that to a child. I mean, I could see, you know, on an occasional situation, if there's like an emergency and you were financially able to help your mother, you choose to, okay. But to be guilted into it or to be pressured into it or for it to even be expected is not fair, in my opinion. It's not your responsibility. Thoughts on that, Lise?
Yeah, I mean, any of these situations can happen in any relationship once in a while. Not any of the situations, but a lot of, you know, versions yeah. of these situations. It's when a narcissist behaves this way, it's chronic.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. 100%. Misfit says, you never want to be beholden to a narcissist, not even for a nickel. Oh, really good point. You know what? Let's talk about the... what is it called when they give you something, but they require something in return?
Transactional. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I'm such a good person and I'm going to help people and I'm going to help you out because I care so much. Really, they just want, you know, they have something they want in return.
Agenda. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And you'll see that a lot, especially with narcissistic parents.
Oh, yeah. They will give you the world and money. Well, also in relationships.
Yes.
There are not... Unfortunately, we speak to too many people with the ones that don't give gifts, but giving big gifts and giving financially is a narcissistic tactic of love bombing.
So. Not to say that people, that everybody who gives is
No. But it is right. When a narcissist uses it, it is a tactic of control.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you'll have the ones that they give. There are some narcissists who are really, really shockingly good at giving gifts.
Oh, yeah. And, elaborate.
You know,
yeah.
Right. But then there are the rest of them. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think ultimately, you know, it's like if a narcissist gives you something that you know that they should know you don't want. Like, let's say that, you know, they gave you a golf bag full of golf clubs and you have no interest in golf, but it's their favorite thing.
Oh, yeah. It's expensive and it's nice, but it's like, right. What am I going to do with that?
It's yeah. They're going to be like, you know, actually, I need some new golf clubs. Those happen to be the size for me. Woo!
Like, yeah, or they give elaborate vacations sometimes. I've heard of this and multiple times. And my question is always, yeah, but did you have any fun? You know what? We didn't. That's yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. All about them all the time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Highly sensitive Wookie says, I would get guilt tripped over meeting to purchase necessities for my job. Right. Right. That is very right. It's you, or needing to buy personal care items. I've seen that too. Like you need deodorant, you know. Or you need hair, you know, shampoo and conditioner minimum, you know, most people.
Oh yeah, I've had that one. It was like, are you kidding me? You're complaining about toothpaste? You know, what? Or like minimal, I mean, not even extravagant. Yeah. And then they'll buy something really expensive, frivolous. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's no, yeah.
Yeah, or this is so stupid, but I'm gonna share it anyway. When I was a kid, I was never allowed to have the white meat of the chicken, even though it was the only part I liked, because only the adults got the white meat of the chicken. So stupid. You know, and I didn't like the other stuff. I just, yeah. so dumb. But then there were little things like, I had this attitude all the way up until I met my husband, my current husband, that if I got anything, it had to be the crumbs or the cheapest, crappiest thing. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then one day I remember being so annoyed with my husband that he wanted Mountain Dew and Wonder Bread and not Mountain Ski or whatever they had at the Aldi, you know what I mean? And like whatever cheap bread they had. And I, he got over the Wonder Bread, but he still needs Mountain Dew, I guess. but it's funny because I thought that was the dumbest thing in the world, but it wasn't dumb. It was just wanting what he wanted and that was okay. You know what I mean? And so like,
yeah, you get where you accept the crumbs as that's as good as it gets.
Yeah. And it taught me a lot. It taught me that it was okay to have nice things. If I could work for them and buy them, I could have them, you know. Mm-hmm. And along that same note, this is funny about, I think I've probably told this story before. I'll tell it one more time really quick. In 2011, I bought my first brand new car ever. And it was not like a big fancy car. It was a freaking Nissan. It's still sitting in the driveway, still less than 100,000 miles because I work at home. Anyway, first brand new car, and my mother found out about it through the grapevine because I'd gone no contact before that, and I heard about it through my cousin that she had been talking about how can they afford that, they don't have the money, this woman does not know about my bank,
right,
does not know what we have in the bank. I hadn't talked to her in like a year and a half at that point, but I'm like, yeah, it's not like we bought a Mercedes or a BMW or that. It was a freaking.
And even if you had, who cares? It's like,
exactly. Right. We paid for it, not her. You know what I mean? We're not selling drugs.
You're adults. Crazy stuff. Yeah.
Like, what do you want from me? So that's an example, though, of, and it's not exactly financial abuse in that case, but it's more about the attitude of you don't deserve nice things.
It is kind of financial abuse because it is going after your belief system about your life with your finances.
Yes.
And it's one click away from them controlling another piece of you.
Right. Or trying to.
Yeah.
But they don't. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was hard. And it was like for the first like 30, almost 35 years of my life, it was that. It's mm-hmm. done. Okay. Yeah.
Or telling children, this is, you know, that you're lucky to have, what was I told? You're lucky that we take care of you because, you know, it's really expensive.
I was told about the starving children in other other countries, and how if I didn't eat my food or that I didn't like or whatever, what about the starving children in that country? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Uh-huh. Hey, Huffle Mom. Huffle Mom sends a super chat. Thank you. She says, Cass Trady Vlogs asks, when I was 16, you know, I was in a relationship with a 30-year-old woman. I received $20 on a weekly basis. Wow. See, okay. So first of all, that is what we call, I'm going to say at the very best, a statutory situation, mm-hmm. right? I feel really sorry and sad to see this. I have an 18-year-old child and I can't fathom him with a 30-year-old person.
No.
Right? This is a situation where you have someone who, I mean, look, you know, you might look at a 16-year-old and they might look like an adult sometimes, right? But any of us who have had children in this room right now or in, we know that 16 is still a child, right? Do we all know that? Do we agree?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't even know. Please take this off.
Yeah, that's all kinds of levels of wrong besides illegal. And yes. On her end, and was it her, right?
You said I don't know for sure. I think.
Oh, I thought he said woman, or they said
woman. Well, woman, it was a woman who was in the relationship with person.
An older
person. But I don't know who
the person is. Okay. Well, whatever. It was on the 30-year-old's end.
Yes, illegal, the woman who was 30. Yes.
Illegal, immoral, and so manipulative of a child's position.
Yeah.
So much more power.
Right. And it, you know, 16-year-olds might be physically mature enough to mm-hmm. do certain stuff that we're not going to talk about today.
Right. No shame on them at all. No, none at all on the person who lived through that. And
no,
because it may not have been all bad. I mean, I don't know the situation, but it's like, it's more than financial abuse, and it is a huge financial abuse.
Oh my God. Yeah. Because and my question then is the $20 in payment for services. I'm hearing relationship. Were you living with a person? I mean, there are so many reasons, so many questions I have. It could have been a person. I don't know if you are male or female. If there's any additional information, please pass it along.
Yeah,
that's a horrible situation. Anything else for that one, please?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Okay. Oop, here we go. I'm trying. Okay, here we go. Jack says to Adrian, that seems like a common scenario. Narcissist financially sponges off of you. Not his, but he's read about it from others. One second. Hold on. Sorry. Okay. excuse me. Okay. Misfit says, I'd rather go without. Became my mantra. Yeah. You know what? I thought to myself when I was told that I was cut out of the will, I know I'll probably lose out on a lot. And I know that it'll probably go to people who I don't really care, because to me, first of all, I'm grateful every day that I get to earn my own money and that I can support myself with or without anyone else, right? But secondly, I would not want to be beholden to someone for my whole life or theirs in order to get some cash when they die. You know, when my husband's mother died, I said to her before she was wonderful, my husband's mother. She saved me in a lot of ways, but she said to me at one point, you know, well, because she was trying to comfort me about her death, which is who she was. If you met her, you'd love her. But she said to me at one point on her deathbed, you know, hey, you guys are going to get some money. And I was like, I don't care. Keep your money, spend your money, stay alive. That's how
let's do it that way instead. How about that? Can we do that?
Can we just do that? Let's just skip this whole dying business.
Yeah, we can skip it for another 20 years. How's that?
Right, right. You know, and she was great. But anyway, it was just, you know, I've never been the sort of person that's waited for someone to die for money.
No, and I also get it when people do have that situation where they're like, you know what? I put up with this person my whole
100%.
life. And you know what? If my brothers mm-hmm. and sisters are entitled to some, me too. And
I absolutely agree.
I get that too. You know, I get that. Yeah. And I get to having to maintain contact in order to maintain that thread so that you don't get, it's so complicated, and they use it to, yeah. they use it to keep you in part of the narcissistic system of that family.
They
and,
do. Yeah.
And sometimes people, it's worth it to people, and sometimes it's not. It's a totally personal choice. And some right. of us are like, screw it, I don't need you. And others of us are like, nope, that is something I'm entitled to. My siblings are, so I am.
Well, yeah. And I mean, it also might depend. I mean, to be fair, my parents are not millionaires. So as far as I know, I don't really know
right, yeah. now.
But my, like one client of mine just reminded me, a former client of mine had a multi-millionaire father who was horrible to her for her whole life, basically abandoned her and got a new family twice or something. And, but lots of money. And she was most definitely in that position where she was like, look, he basically forced her to be dependent on him in so many ways, even though she'd gone to all the Ivy League schools. Mm-hmm. She was in her 40s and hadn't really had a really high paying job yet for a lot of reasons, his fault mostly. So she was like, I'm going to work this out to where, you know, so I helped her navigate and negotiate her situation. It was, so I get it. And I'm not saying that I'm better than anyone because
no,
I'm.
No, it's just like, a different, you know, yeah, it's just right. different.
Differences, circumstances.
Different yeah. things. And so yeah. either way, you're stuck having to make a choice that is unpleasant.
Right.
Because it shouldn't be a thought. It should just right. either be there or not be there. If it's there, it's there.
Right. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's just either way, no matter what you do with them, there's drain, there's energy, there's work, even when you're cutting them off.
100%.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's like Adrienne says, you know, she said, I've been taking care of myself for a very long time. Same. Same. And that's, you know, when I moved out, I mean, I went to college when I was 18 and I just never came back. That's how I did it. And so my first year after the dorms, I moved into a tiny apartment and I was hungry sometimes, but boy, I still wasn't going back.
Right.
Yeah, was not, you know, anyway, everybody's different.
Everyone's different and handles it different and we all have different ways that we were manipulated. Your mom, she didn't make you tough. You have a tough nature on your own that is going to, your strength is in that, right? In your saying, you know what, I ain't doing that.
Right.
Right. And some people don't have that same personality type. And so that isn't their mode and method. But the way your mom was to you, she was so harsh and so hard that kind of pushed you away. There wasn't a lot of pullback. Some 100%. People are fed the push and pull so much that they become so unable to think differently.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, these narcs, man, the complicated. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's situation, you know, like you said, everybody's situation is different. And you're right. Some of them are loving sometimes or seem to be. And mine was not like, I mean, she was great in public mostly.
Yeah. Yours just sounds awful.
Well, yeah. We'll move on. Anyway.
Not about her. We don't want to do that.
We're good on that. Yeah. Okay. Sparkle Canada. Hello. Is it unusual? No, I'm sorry. Is it usual for a narcissist? Oh, this is a great question. To be easy prey for MLM schemes and scammers. How to deal with that when one is financially dependent. Okay.
Are the narcissists?
Yeah. Believe it or not. Yes.
Okay. Is that what you're asking? Okay.
Yes. I have seen this.
Wow. Oh yeah.
And not just for MLMs, but for commercials in general, anything that tries to sell them some easy, whatever, you know, easy, but even food sometimes, but yes, I've seen that. And it's not all narcissists, certain types of narcissists, because they play on, they're so smart. Those MLM people, they teach their people to play on your ego and your desires and the things that you really want. And they twist everything around to make it seem legit. But even the people that do make money, they work their butts off a lot harder than probably realize. Anyway, thoughts about the MLM scammers?
Yeah. And I think if they mean play into it as in becoming a distributor or whatever for these particular things, I think, and first of all, I don't think all MLMs are evil things. I think
I agree.
It's just a means of selling. Mm-hmm. That sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. But right. there are evil ones. I know I'm thinking of one in particular that I know is really bad. And yeah. I would say they teach people in their training to behave like narcissists. So,
yeah,
that would be attractive to someone who already behaves that way.
Uh-huh. Excellent point.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 And as Adrian says, yeah, narcissists tend to be money hungry one way or the other. Even if they have a lot of money, you know, like we said, if they have a lot, they use it to control people. Now there are those who have a lot and they're super frugal. Mm-hmm. Like the one we talked about where they were living in the too small house, you know, or the ones, and by too small, I mean, it had like two bedrooms and they had something like three or four kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay. Not acceptable. And the parents had a bedroom. And so you had four kids, two boys, two girls, something like that. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Anyway. And they were like big kids, teenagers, you know, they weren't like little babies. So, and it would be different if you couldn't afford it. Then you could like set up some dividers in the basement or something. Yeah,
there's ways to work it. Yeah. If you have to, and it's totally different when you have to, but when there's means and they're doing it on purpose, they're purposefully keeping it. Yeah.
Yes. They're intentionally making your life harder. Yeah.
They're intentionally making use in survivor mode, because when you're in survivor mode, you're more malleable. You can deal with it today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We have a super chat from Timothy. Hello and thank you. Timothy says, why do some narcissistic individuals treat their partners poorly? Oh, this is great. But are loyal to family of origin and loving toward pets? Excellent question. And this is because their partners are now their primary source of supply.
Yeah.
Pets are great for narcissists because they only love you and they don't ever ask you questions and they don't ever, you know, try to.
You don't have to be accountable to a pet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. They just only, and they will sit there and be entertained by whatever you do for them, mostly. You know, what I mean is, if you know how to play with a pet, then the pet is your pet, and then your pet can be treated like whatever. But my point is, they don't argue. They don't ask for things. They just want your time and attention, which you give them or not. And if you walk away, then they might cry, but they're not going to follow you out the door. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they don't make your life, personally, I think they make your life a little harder, but like, cleaning up poop and stuff, but usually a narcissist has a partner to help them with that. So
exactly.
Right. But why do they, I think it's about supply, and why are they treating their family of origin that way? Again, it's about either their family of origin also has some toxic, most likely has toxic elements to it, and they're kind of playing along with that, or they are, you know, they are literally doing it just to put you further in the box, or to treat you. You're the primary source of supply. The family is not anymore. That's what I think comes down to. But Lise, what are your thoughts?
With the family of origin, when you have a narcissist within a family, it isn't just a narcissist and mom, a narcissist and whatever. It's a system. It's a total system. Mm-hmm. So whatever role they have, each person in their family in, that's where they keep them. So what may look like they're treating them good could be scapegoating, could be golden childing or golden parenting even, you know, like mommy's perfect, daddy's evil. Like, you know, they have a lot of times parents are enabling. Mm-hmm. Say they're not toxic per se, they may be enabling this child that is an adult now. And so they don't give them any reason, meaning they aren't holding them accountable, just like the pets don't hold them accountable. And when a narcissist is not held accountable to anything, they don't devalue quite as obviously when it's not someone they live with. They're no longer living with their parents. They only
deal
with certain points. So again, not primary supply. Primary supply, behind closed doors, you see the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
And if they're communal narcissists, they need people on their side. So they need a harem, or they need a fan club, or whatever you want to call it. And if that's who they're using, their family for that, they may use coworkers for that. They may use church groups or other groups or whatever. They need everyone to see the fake them, that put the mask on. I'm this amazing person. They need the world to see that. Maybe their family, that's what they need to see. And then behind closed doors, the mask comes off and they're awful.
Yeah.
And the reason they do that is because how could you wear a mask 24/7? It's not really them. It's fake. It's to say, see, I'm perfect. Everyone else thinks so.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. All right. Okay, we have this. Wait a minute. We forgot to touch on one thing. How would you deal with the MLM narcissist when you are financially dependent, I assume, on that narcissist? And so I just want to touch on that. This is a tough one, right? I would say start looking for a job or a way to make money from home. And I would say, you know, do your best to not be financially dependent as quickly as possible. Otherwise, if you have no choice, then I would start tucking away whatever money you can as you can. Like when you go to the grocery store, you can like get an extra $20 and, you know, put it in a box somewhere or even a safe deposit box. I mean, have it at a trusted friend or family member's home if nothing else, or, you know, tape it up to the top of your closet, you know what I'm saying? And just try to save up some cash if you need it. But I guess I would need to know more about the situation. Any other thoughts about how to deal with that when you're financially dependent?
Right. I think it's the same with what MLM or not.
Right.
It's what you're suggesting, finding ways. And also if you're married, seeking legal counsel to know what your legal rights are, before you start making any moves. A lot of times they'll have suggestions for how and what you can legally do with the joint money and what you can't do. It's tricky to get out. It's really finding your own life and disentangling slowly. Sometimes rapidly.
Okay. We have Amanda, and she says, oh, wait a minute. I missed one from Mystique. Mystique says, my ex is begging me to get back with him and love bombing and talking about the future. Well, we've got a Hoover in the house.
We know what that future is. It's fake.
Yeah. Future fake. Mystique knows. I'm pretty sure. But that's the thing. I hope that you're not falling for that. I think, you know, I believe that you're not, because otherwise you wouldn't be in this room talking with us still. So thank you for that. Amanda says, my narcissist would always say he feels bad he's taking money from a single mom, but then never pay it back. I'm guessing you were the single mom. Of course, they say whatever they need to say to get what they want.
To keep doing it over and over again, right?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so in that case, the best thing you can do is stop giving it to him. I'm sorry, I don't have it.
Yep.
Period. And unless he has access to your bank account, in which case you can always fix that, you know?
Yep, quickly.
Right. Right. Let's see. Elizabeth says, I don't remember. Oh, never mind. That's separate. Okay. Hey, Bonnie, welcome. And thank you for being here from the Mod Squad. Bonnie, Jack, Buffalo Mom, and Chris in the house today. Thank you guys. Misfit basis, less than zero. They leave you in debt. It's what they do. Indeed. Oh, we have a super chat here from Green Spud Trades. Cool name. Marriage gives a person in your life financial leverage in a way that no other social relationship can. Yep. No way out but messy divorce. I mean, that is not a lie. It's not. That's the thing. It's one of those. Yeah. Legal marriage is, you know, like, I'm not saying bad things about it. There are good things about it. There are, but only when you're not with the person who's.
Only when it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because otherwise it's all bad. The financial part of it.
Oh my gosh, that's the worst part. The worst part is getting the disentangling all of that.
It's bad. Yeah. Nobody wants that. And you're right. It does. It gives someone leverage. I mean, outside of your wealthy parents who can maybe have leverage over you because they own you or whatever.
Oh, because, yeah.
But I mean,
yeah.
But
well,
yeah,
no, that's exactly why it's like, it goes past just using you into what we're calling financial abuse, because
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unacceptable. Yeah. And marriage is, you know, we'll move on. Okay. Highly sensitive Wookie says, thank you, Angie, Lise, your communities have been a huge help. I'm so, so glad to hear that. That's for both of us, lady. okay. And Upsetter, cool name, says, oh, they have no problem taking money from a single mom. Ain't that the truth?
None.
They don't care. They would take money from a man on the street.
Yeah.
They don't, or a woman. They don't care. They would just, they want what they want, and they care nothing about how anyone else is feeling, nothing how their circumstances are. If they could take my ex-husband took our rent money and our food money.
Mm-hmm.
and drank it up or whatever he was doing. I know there was drinking. I don't know about drugs, but I suspect. But anyway, I mean, he would do that on a regular basis, and we had a little baby. I mean, it was infuriating because he only made, like, you know, just above minimum wage back then. Probably still does. It finds a new habitat. What am I talking about? Okay. Anyway, I think I have a door issue. Okay. And then we have Jack saying, I don't know about usual, but Alpha Mom and I have a goodly amount of experience. Goodly, that's a good word. Of experience with MLM. Oh, before Boss Babes. Interesting. I did not realize that. He said before Boss Babes, it was rife in the LDS Mormon Christian community. I don't think Mormon and Christian go together technically, but they do. So, I mean, the LDS, the outside of, I'm going to stop that right now. Outside of the LDS, I'm thinking of the FLDS. Okay, sorry about that. But the LDS, especially in Utah, I was not aware of that. But that's an interesting, and that is especially interesting because I feel like they're tapping into a, I didn't know that. I'm going to stop talking about it because I don't know.
Yeah, I know. My brain's going,
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what I don't. Okay. Adrian. Yes, Canada. Okay. I missed. Okay. Bonnie agreed with something you said at some point, but I don't know what that was because I were behind in chat.
So. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But she said 100% to us.
Time. I have to leave pretty soon. Just.
So. Oh, yeah. Sure. You're right. Okay. All right, guys. As a matter of fact, so do I. So I just lost track of time.
I did too. And I just looked and said, oh, there we are.
Sorry about that. Okay. So we will be back here next Tuesday for another live stream. As always, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your time and your day with us. If you have questions, comments, concerns, things you want to talk about next time, let us know in the chat. Tell Jack Lumen, one of our moderators here, he put it on a list for us, or leave it in the comments below when this stream goes, you know, when it pops up on later. Okay. Woo! Okay. Thank you. Huffle Mom will walk us out with all the reminders. I hope. Thank you. And to our Moz Squad, Jack, Bonnie, Chris, and Huffle Mom, we love you. We're grateful for you every time. And to everyone who's here, all the same things. Have a wonderful week. Please. Thank you.
See you soon. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Right.
Bye. I'm getting there.
Now,
bye. I'm going now.
Now we're going. Oh, here we go.
I thought I clicked it.